It's Monday, June 23rd, and you're listening to the Three Nerds in a Basement podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Blavin.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk to you about all the cool things in the world. This week's episode, we are doing the review on How to Train Your Dragon, Dose, Picks of the Week, and our own personal stuff should follow shortly after that. Mm-hmm. But firstly, how you doing, Blavin? You were gone last week. You're back this week. How you been?
It's been good. I was away last week because I did a bunch of testing for magic. I had to try and really see where I fly in when it comes to the modern season of magic, because the next Pro Tour qualifying seasons are all going to be the modern format. So I was just getting my toe wet and trying to try the different decks though that are out there. And lately, realized I'm bad at all of them. So I'm just going to pick up the one that I actually still own, which is Living End. And right now, the format is saturated by a lot of combo decks. So I have to plan against that. So that's what I've learned on that day.
That's what you were doing?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anthony, how you been?
I've been good.
Yeah.
Playing games,
mm-hmm.
Reading stuff,
mm-hmm.
Going out.
It's good.
Well-balanced week.
It's a well-balanced life.
What about you?
Same old, same old.
Building Gundams?
Building Gundams, watching the World Cup.
Damn.
And just regular routine stuff. That's really it.
Nice.
Sounds like we all had a very fun time.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into the review. So, How to Train Your Dragon 2. This is, of course, the sequel to How to Train Your Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
If you couldn't figure that out.
What?
And I will go out on a limb here and say that we all really enjoyed the first movie.
Yes.
I enjoyed it. I didn't really enjoy it.
Oh, you didn't really enjoy it. Enjoyed it.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't on as high on as that everybody else was.
Okay.
I liked it, though.
Okay, well, it was always a positive thumbs up from everyone around here.
Yep.
And the sequel came out. Takes place 5 years after the original movie.
Mm-hmm.
Premise goes something like, yo, there's dragons. Someone wants to hunt them. We got to get our dragons back.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And that's essentially the movie with some twists and turns in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Like all our reviews, you can always expect us to spoil it right for you. So be aware. So, Anthony, what you feel about How to Train Your Dragon 2?
I thought How to Train Your Dragon 2, I liked this movie better than I liked the first one.
Mm.
And I already really liked the first one.
Mm.
It was interesting to see how the village lives after they've taken dragons on as pets.
Yes.
And just being able to explore the world now without being hindered by boats and stuff, just to be able to fly around, they get to cover a lot more ground. And
right.
It's cool because it shows that there is more world out there. And it's that sense of discovery when he's flying around making that map and when they find the other dragon tamers.
Yeah.
And like it's like finding a different culture who does everything you do but the other way. Because like they took over the dragons with like kindness and whatever. And then these other people are just like, I'm going to capture these dragons and force them to be my slaves.
It's good.
And it was a really cool... It was a really fun adventure. Just like all the different dragon acrobatics you can do, all the new species that they showed, especially the alphas.
Oh yeah, the two alphas.
Yeah, the two alphas. Those things were cool. And it's also a tearjerker. Like there are people in the theater just bawling at certain parts, at certain twists.
Oh really?
Yeah, like the people. They're like a group of girls behind us who were just crying.
I was like, did you turn around to look
no,
at them?
No, I just heard it. They're like, oh my god.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, whoa, these girls are like way into this movie.
Oh.
Yeah, it got to me. It hit me right in the feels.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's great. It's a great movie. It's not just a great kids movie.
Okay.
I felt.
All right.
Yeah.
Blavin, are you going to echo Anthony's sentiments? You got more complaints? You got more praise?
I echo Anthony's sentiments. I enjoyed this movie a lot. I thought it was better than the first one.
Uh-huh.
And the thing that really stuck out to me about in this one is that this movie, you didn't have to deal about everyone not believing Hiccup. In the other movie, everybody was against Hiccup until he had to prove himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now that's all done and over with. Mm-hmm. So Hiccup has already proved himself, and everybody sort of agrees with him now.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody works as a unifying force to try and defeat the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a much... To me, it was a fresh breath of fresh air, because the number one thing that I hate in movies is when the good guy has the exact right idea and nobody wants to believe them, and that is the main driving force of the conflict.
Okay, yeah, that I can agree with that, yeah.
This one, everybody, Hiccup would say something, everybody agrees, and sweet. That's everybody sweet. And they're just going to do it.
Yep.
So I thought that was really good. There was a lot of parts in the movie that were kind of, how can I say this, overly dramatic.
Okay.
For example, the scene where the mom and daddy reunited, mm-hmm. it got kind of corny for about 5 minutes.
With the dance?
With the dance and the song.
Oh, okay. Oh,
okay.
I thought that was a little corny. I can understand the fact that they put it in there because they had to show the romance between them after not seeing each other for so long. But I thought they could have done without that.
I thought that it's a kids' movie and we need a song.
They need a song in there somewhere.
Understood. Yeah. It's not as catchy as the other Disney songs.
No, it's not.
Another thing that I thought was cool was the designs of the new dragons, especially the mother's dragon.
The one that looks like the Pokemon?
It basically is an owl.
Yeah.
Oh, the owl dragon? Yeah.
It's a massive owl. Wings. But the thing that caught my eye the most was the Agnaktor / Jen Moran.
Uh-huh.
The big alpha dragons.
Yeah.
Which look like the dragons from Monster Hunter, complete with breakable tusks.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
They only got one, though.
The thing was, is that in this movie, they did a good job of showing the breadth and scale of the alpha dragon. And I thought that the battle with them was pretty epic. And it was cool to see that they all had to unite to beat one. So
okay.
It made sense to me, and I always have a soft spot for big things that are like underwater.
So like whales
and stuff like that. Yeah, it's very menacing to me. So
okay.
These huge things, the fact that he was pulling along their whole fleet was pretty cool to me.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. So because I mean, they identified it while it was underwater. And they underestimated what it was, and mm-hmm. you never see it until it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I'm talking about the bad guy's dragon. Yeah. But the fact that there was something they're pulling, I thought it was going to be something else other than another alpha.
Same.
But I was not upset that it wasn't another alpha. Does that make sense?
That makes sense, yeah. I was upset.
Yeah, I thought it would be something cooler looking, like an actual Hydra.
Yeah, I thought they were going to do a Hydra, or they were going to do the Loch Ness Monster.
Right, right.
Or...
So, what I read was that this is the alpha, and the guy that they fought in the beginning, sorry, in the first dragon, was like the queen.
Oh, that would make sense.
So, that one is the queen, and this one is the king.
Okay.
Oh, the one they just made head dive into the ground?
Yeah, that was, okay. I guess, the queen, and this one was the king. Okay. And apparently, this one, the alpha, is bigger than the queen, so.
Okay.
Sans flying. He doesn't fly. All right. So.
He doesn't need to.
So, yeah, I think it was good. It was funny. Mm-hmm. It's good to see with your friends, no matter what age group, there's something for everyone. And I think as a kids' movie, it's particularly enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I give it a recommendation.
Okay. Yeah, I liked it as much as you guys. Maybe a little more, who knows? If there's something that I was worried about going into this movie is that I thought I was going to do the classic sequel thing of now that we have that bond between Hiccup and Toothless, I thought they were going to try and split them up, and I'm glad they didn't. For the most part, they were together. I know there's a part in the end for like 10 minutes they're separated, but yeah. That wasn't the point of the movie.
Yes, yes.
And it also wasn't like an argument between the two. It was like against Toothless's will.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that the whole point of the movie was we're together and we're a driving force and we are going to do what we need to
do. And I haven't seen a movie that does that
exactly
in a long while.
Yeah, almost all the time with sequels with pairing as lead characters, the sequel is always we gotta drive a wedge between them, and this whole movie will be about them getting back together.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they didn't go down that route, and we just saw a whole bunch of fun.
Agreed.
I do like Hiccup's mom, how she just walks on dragons.
And moves.
And moves.
Very feral.
I wasn't completely sold on Cate Blanchett's voice acting for her.
Right.
I thought it was a bit awkward at times.
Was she supposed to have an accent? I don't understand.
Yeah, I couldn't tell what she was trying.
Right?
Yeah, I was a bit confused compared to Gerard Butler as the...
As the dad.
Mm-hmm. I thought his
straight Viking.
He was awesome. I like how this movie had the... they had two big deaths right after the other.
And they had the balls to do it.
Yeah, after the first one, I was like, wow.
What's the first death?
When they killed the first alpha.
Oh, that guy's whatever.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't expect that to happen in this kid's movie.
Yeah. He just rams his tusks into him.
And then after that...
It's assumed that he runs a tusk. They cut away.
That's true. And when he cut away, and when he pulled out, there was no blood.
He could have just lulled
Dragons
him to sleep.
Dragons don't bleed, okay?
He could have just lulled him to sleep by rubbing his tusks gently.
That's true.
They rushed him to death.
Or he just hit the off button.
Yeah. And so that's why they said, no, he turned him off.
Yeah. Now we can't turn him on.
He turned him off forever, and only he can turn him back on.
Damn.
But yeah, so I really enjoyed that.
Ooh, I thought the one part where Toothless was encased in ice, when he glue, I was secretly crossing my fingers for him to digivolve.
I was hoping for mega evolution.
Oh my god, right? And all he did was get some crappy blue glow.
Yeah, I thought to that, I was like, oh, they're...
I thought he was going to mature.
Got some neon lights,
we could have had something here, but we didn't.
I thought he was going to get bigger or something.
I guess save it for the third movie.
He just digivolve.
Yeah, definitely.
Press of friendship, man.
Well, he kind of evolved. He got the little... Oh. All the wings on his back, so he could make the sharper
turn.
No,
that was just something he already had. He always had that. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And the mom was like, poke.
Yeah. I also like how the majority of this movie takes place in the air.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of flying.
Especially with Hiccup with his wingsuit.
That always fits.
The one thing that I thought was cool was that they introduced the ice blasts.
Yeah.
But they don't explain it until quite late in the movie. And I thought that was cool because there was an air of mystery about them. As to what you thought what force could have done this. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be a natural disaster.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, that's true.
I thought that they were getting hit with an ice age or something.
Yeah.
But instead, it was another dragon, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, I thought the ice was cool. The only thing that was throwing me off is that the ice doesn't seem to melt.
Yeah.
Like, when the alpha blew the ice onto their island,
it
just kind of stayed there for the rest of the movie.
Balls.
And who knows?
I'm sure it'll melt away.
Maybe it's ice that turns into glass.
It's super ice.
But, oh, yeah, they were, like, farming the ice.
Yeah,
so... But no, I really like the movie. I don't really have many complaints. It was super fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie is closer to Monster Hunter than I thought than the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and it makes me wish that, like, Monster Hunter had, I could just fly monsters and fight other monsters.
See, the thing is in this one, is that they don't actually fight monsters.
No, they don't.
The writers are using their own monsters too. I thought that when it was mentioned that it seemed like Monster Hunter, it's just the similarity between Jen Moran and the massive dude.
Oh, same from the first movie, you mean?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, that's right.
Because
that
they never actually fight with special weapons made from dragons.
True.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Hiccup's weapons are cool.
His lightsaber that...
Man, the fire saber? Yeah.
And then his gasp. Explosion thing.
Yeah, that was very cool.
Yeah, he's
smart dude.
Yeah.
For a Viking.
You should really listen to him more.
More? Well, I think that's why he's the chief now.
Jeez, he can bring them into the IT age.
Definitely.
We use these dragons to make computers.
How did you guys feel about the main villain?
I thought he was cool. Dude. Like, just straight up, like, because...
It was so good that it was so simple.
Yeah, and he's like the exact opposite of Hiccup, too.
He is just the guy... Who is angry.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't need any more.
I was afraid that they were going to make his whole past like very convoluted, but they're just, I am Dragon Master.
I am angry.
The dragons messed me up. Now I will control them. Yes. And it's like, damn.
And I was very glad. I was also really a fan of the other dude they introduced.
Yeah.
The Dragon Eric Hunter. Yeah, him. He was my favorite part of the movie.
Eric, son of Eric.
Those scenes. Yeah, Eric, son of Eric, and then the girl twin. When she kept, like, fawning over him, that was really funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Okay, the last question I have to ask you guys is, this is probably the second biggest animated film this year. Is it better than the Lego Movie?
No.
No.
Yeah, okay.
Like, this is really good, but the Lego Movie is so good. The Lego
Movie was hilarious.
Okay. I just wanted to see if anyone was going to cross that line. But yeah, I agree. The Lego Movie was better than
this. It was too funny.
Yes.
Everything is awesome.
And the thing is that the Lego Movie really, it sticks with you.
Yes.
It makes you hum the song. Mm-hmm. Makes you remember certain scenes in jokes. Mm-hmm. Not really that much for How to Train Your Dragon.
No.
See me singing the song.
You're right.
Like we remembered like certain parts, like the sword and like some murders.
Yeah, some decapitations.
Yeah, but other than we pretty much remember almost the whole movie of the Lego Movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right, give it a rating.
I'll give it a 4 out of 5 dragons.
Okay. Anthony?
4 out of 5 dragons.
I'll follow with a 4. So it's a solid 4 for all around the table.
Yeah, that was good.
It's very good.
Check it out. What could it have done to give us an extra plus one?
To give it an extra plus one? That's a good question.
I would like to see less lame dragons. Some of them are lame.
Yeah, some of them are really lame.
They don't have a traditional looking dragon.
What do you mean by traditional?
Like, a wyvern-looking one.
Oh, okay. A western...
Like a D&D. Western D&D type of dragon. They don't have one like
that. You're right, they don't. They don't at all. Even... They're very out there, yeah.
All the dragons kind of look frail.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the thin-necked ones.
Yeah.
The girl with the huge chin.
Mm-hmm.
She's, like, uppercutting it. But Toothless is the one that looks the most like a traditional dragon. But I guess that's the way they wanted it, so that he's very unique compared to everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Didn't remember dragons having such flat faces like the owl and the alpha.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, the only thing that would have made this movie better, it'd probably have to be a whole another movie to do it, but I would have loved to seen a huge, grand adventure, not a like a rescue mission or like a defense mission.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they went off and, I don't know, in search or something, and they found a whole another crew who discovered... Manticores or something.
Oh man, imagine they ran into the Reign of Fire people. Remember that movie? Was it Christian Bale?
Reign of Fire.
Remember it was dragons taking over the whole world? They're burning London. Reign of Fire? It was in a live action.
Oh, okay.
Who was in it?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Yeah, you know what movie I'm talking about.
I know right? You're talking about. When you said live action, yeah, it came back to me. Okay.
Yeah, they should meet that. Oh man, it's London burning. Yeah.
Okay.
Matthew McConaughey and Christian Bale in this one, yes.
Okay.
That'd be funny.
Try all right. Them. Yeah. Now, other than that, I don't really know what this movie could have done.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Any other thoughts, or are we good to go?
It's good.
Yeah.
We're good to go. Okay. Time to move into our picks of the week, then. Did any of you guys want to open up, or...?
I'll open up.
Sure.
So... when we saw How to Train Your Dragon, I don't know if the previews were the same for you guys, but when I saw it, there was a movie that really stood out to me in the preview section.
Okay.
It was The Book of Life, which is being directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells of two gentlemen, Manolo and Joaquin, who is played by Channing Tatum.
Okay.
Did you guys not see this?
You're going to have to keep describing it.
So they vie for the affection of one lady. I forget her name.
Yes. Oh, this is the...
This movie the looks so good.
Yes, okay.
And so on the Day of the Dead, two spirits, one a female and one a male, they make a wager. And one of them picks the other as the champion to win the hearts of the lady.
Right.
So the lady spirit picks Manolo and... the male spirit picks Joaquin, and Manolo is about to win the affection of the main lady. Then the male spirit, sends a snake to kill him.
Yeah.
And now he is in the world of the remembered, or the world of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he is taxed to do different feats to try and get back and reunite with the love of his life.
Yeah.
So I thought the movie was really cool because it looks like the whole movie... it's just toys.
Yeah.
They're all blocky.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all these... it reminds you of Grim Fandango and all that kind of stuff. So I guess you guys saw this trailer as well. What did you guys think? It's a really standout one to me.
Yeah, no, the animation style is very unique. I thought it was
It's really bright,
too. Yeah, it's really cool. There's a... they like... is it Spanish?
I think it's...
or is it Mexican? Mexican?
Yeah.
Is it Mexican?
It's okay. Mexican.
All right.
Churros.
All you can eat churros. No, this movie looked really cool.
I mean, it had really cool scenes. One scene, there was a huge guy that reminded me of a Colossus from Shadow of the Colossus just smashing a sword into him, and he just stood there and took it.
I thought it broke around him.
Yeah, that was cool. Really cool. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I'm looking forward to this movie. I'd like to learn more about it.
Yeah, it comes with this Halloween.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't pick up on what you were saying because I thought it had a weird title.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Day of the Dead, which apparently was his original title.
Okay.
But then they changed it to Book of Life.
Which, I guess for a kid's movie, you don't want dead in your title.
Yeah. So the number one thing that got me about this movie that made me excited about it was the end of it, the trailer. The one of Manolo's friends tells him that he knows exactly what song to sing to her to woo her back. Oh, and then he goes, baby, you got what I need.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the old virus song, Just a Friend. And I thought it was so funny.
Yeah, and then he...
and then he gets...
He abruptly stops.
Yeah,
that was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, so I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, this movie really reminded me of the game Guacamelee.
Okay, yeah.
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 Yeah, it just is all the bright colors. Like, if you want to play something like that, that's already out and it has all those bright colors and stuff, it's kind of the same concept, like, but it's in reverse. So you're looking, you're trying to, you die and you can switch between living and dead. It's kind of the same concept. It's pretty good.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
All right. Speaking of animation and such, I will follow up and guess. Who's coming back in 2016? You need some hints? They involve sugar.
Batman.
And spice. And everything nice.
The Rowdy Rough Boys.
Also include some Chemical X.
I don't know.
I will tell you. The Powerpuff Girls return to TV in 2016.
Sick.
Which is caught everybody off guard because Powerpuff Girls ended around 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And... I didn't know this, but apparently that's, like, one of Cartoon Network's biggest cash cows.
Not even surprised.
That show is very good.
Yeah, and so I guess they need some more money. So they're making more stuff. Now, of course, no details have been announced, and they're not entirely sure if they'll even bring back the original cast. Because it might be... because it is a reboot, so they don't know what they're going to do.
Weird. And I guess the people who have already grown up with it are too old for it now.
Yeah, maybe.
Hit it for a new generation.
See, I don't know about that because, I don't know, did you guys watch the special Powerpuff Girls episode that came out this January?
No. There was one.
Dance Pantsed?
No.
Okay.
Where they brought them back for one special episode and who's the...
Are they all older or no?
No, they're the same, but they changed the art style.
Oh, really?
They're 3D models.
Oh, weird.
But they're flat 3D models.
Oh, cute.
Cool.
I thought it looked really cool, but a lot of the fan base was very negative because of how iconic the Powerpuff Girls have been drawn for the past 10 years or such, right? They were part of that whole... It was them, Dexter's Lab, and I think there's another show that carried the same art style.
Right.
But, yeah, so no one knows what they're... going to do with it, if they're going to be 3D models or not, or if they're going to go back to the original art style. I just think that art style was something of its time, and we're going to have to move beyond that. I don't know if it's going to do the same magic that it did then that it will now.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to agree with you on that one. Right. I guess there is room for innovation.
Yeah.
It's just nostalgia, like, if I'm holding on to
it. Yeah, it is. It really is. I mean, because if you look back at it and you analyze it, it's very, very simple stuff.
Which kind of added to its charm.
It did.
For example, same thing with Samurai Jack.
Yeah. Okay, Samurai Jack had almost similar art style.
As a Cartoon Network brand.
Yeah.
Johnny Bravo.
Yeah. I think we're gonna have to look into what's Cartoon Network doing now, and then we'll get an idea of what the Powerpuff Girls will look like.
Did you guys ever watch Powerpuff Girls Zed?
No.
No?
No, it's like the Japanese take.
I've watched an episode of it, but I've never seen the whole show.
I've never seen it. Apparently, this is funny that we're talking about, because we're talking about Powerpuff Girls Zed with my friends yesterday.
Yeah.
And apparently there's, like, Sailor Moon-esque
scenes and stuff. So basically, in Powerpuff Girls Zed, each of them gets to transform into a powered up version of themselves.
Oh, so they literally made them into a magical girl anime.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's Powered Buttercup, Rolling Bubbles, and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Wow.
That's something.
It's pretty cool. They even have each they have their own jingle when they transform. Oh. It's all different songs. Yeah.
Do they ever combine?
No. They also have iconic versions of all the other characters.
Oh.
Even all the bad guys. Rowdy Rough Boys, everyone. They're all there.
Oh, sick.
Oh.
In anime style. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll probably have to check it out.
It's old, though. We were in high school when it's still, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, no, guys, check out the special episode of Powerpuff Girls just to see that art style. All
right, pop quiz. So, do you guys remember a lot of the villains? Some I remember...
I know the one important villain.
Mojo Jojo.
Yes.
You remember him?
The devil?
Oh, the devil he with the was crab the claws? Devil, yeah. Yeah.
Him. His name was him.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember that Abeba gang?
The what?
The Abeba... the Amoeba gang.
Oh, yeah, they're all... They're amoebas, amoebas with, like, the hats.
With the hats.
Yeah,
yeah, they're like the mafia.
The Gang Green Gang.
The Gang Green Gang is another one of them.
I remember the Gang Green Gang.
Do you remember the fuzzy, the pink guy? Yeah. Who had the banjo, and he would go crazy and angry?
Oh, okay, yeah, I remember him.
What was his name?
I don't remember his name.
Yeah, me neither. Do you remember the little princess girl with the orange puffy hair?
Yeah.
Oh, she's the one who wanted to be a Powerpuff Girl?
Yeah, I think so.
She was, like,
was she related to the mayor's assistant in any way?
I don't know. Do you remember the dog?
I don't remember
the talking dog.
No, I don't remember the dog.
He wasn't a bad guy. He was one of the village like the villagers.
No.
And I guess you guys remember the Rowdy Rough Boys.
Yeah.
No. All that kind of stuff. Yeah. So
the only thing I remember is the red teacher. Telephone.
Yes.
Oh, the red telephone.
Yeah.
The bat phone.
Yeah. We need you. What's the dad's name?
Professor Utonium.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember how they beat the Powerpuff, the Rowdy Rough Boys?
No.
By using their womanly charms and kissing them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was on the advice of the mayor's assistant. She said, if you can't beat them with force, why don't you try something a little more ladylike? And they just, like, frolic up to them and then kiss them, and they go, ew! And then
they like, oh, man. Like 12-year-old boys would.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
wow,
good.
That's
yeah.
clever.
Yeah, it's good.
That's
good.
Clever, yeah. Powerpuff Girls. Huh. Yeah. Yeah, I like them. Mm-hmm. Anthony, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is another article. You guys ever wonder what the Pokemon Company actually is? The
Pokemon Company?
Yeah, because there's Game Freaks that makes Pokemon. Yeah. But there's also the Pokemon Company.
I'm assuming they just make merchandise.
So yeah, that's pretty much... what they do is that they... there's an article on Polygon, and it explains what the Pokemon Company actually does.
I'm assuming they make merchandise and they run the Pokemon centers.
So yeah, what they do is that they produce Pokemon is what they say they do.
Okay.
And they figure out the best ways to like what Pokemon they feel should be in what products, how they should brand certain Pokemon.
Wow. Someone gets paid for this?
Yeah, and someone gets paid for this. And I get Pokemon is just so big now that this separate company is just like... They're making little make-believe people or animals into celebrities. And the article goes pretty in-depth in what they do and what exactly they do. One thing I didn't know is that any main game Pokemon, any like top-down catch-em type Pokemon game is done by Game Freaks.
Yes.
And Pokemon Company actually has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
And then anything that's a third-party game, like Mystery Dungeon... and like pinball and other stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually the Pokemon Company talking with third parties, and they're allowed to do the third party games, but they're not allowed to touch main game Pokemon. It's like mainline Pokemon games.
Oh,
yeah, and there's a lot of stuff I didn't know about the company and like what they actually do, and like Game Freaks is really only the game making side of it.
Yeah,
yeah, and it was really interesting.
Yeah. Oh wait, did you think Game Freaks did like
the I thought Game Freaks was also like merchandising. I thought I thought they were just like a huge company. I didn't know that there was a whole like I've seen the Pokemon Company type thing, but I thought that was just a logo that Game Freaks made. Mm. Like there was like a little thing within them, but it's like a whole separate company. I didn't know that.
Yeah. They really are cool. An internal developer for Nintendo.
Yeah, see.
That's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Did you guys also hear the announcement of a brand new smartphone entering the game?
What?
No.
The Amazon Fire Phone. Oh. The ultimate shopping device.
Spend money to spend more money. So it's good.
So, their camera is equipped with a sensor to identify anything that can be found on Amazon.
That's really cool.
And the minute you bring your phone up, the first thing that is there is buy on Amazon.
Amazing. Amazing.
The other big feature is they have four frontward-facing cameras that track your head so that you can do
four.
Yeah, it's perspective. I forget what they called it.
I don't know what it does yet, but four?
Yeah, there's one in each corner. And when you look at your phone, it's so that you have dynamic perspective, so that when you turn your head around something, like the picture, you could see like around a corner. And they showed like demonstrations for games. Like if you're in a dungeon and you're down a hall, if you want to look around that corner, you can turn your head around the side of your phone and you'll be able to see around the corner.
Whoa! Wait,
so I can take a 2D picture and look around its corner? No.
No. It's for... I don't know why they have it, to be honest. Right. The only real use case they've shown is with a video game. Okay. They've shown the ability to do it with their UI.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to look around your icons.
What's behind my Amazon icon?
As I predicted, nothing. Back to the front.
So, more tech.
They also did another thing I can't remember, but... Depending on where you look and the way you angle your phone, the UI will respond to that with some strange whatever.
So it's like it's not really 3D, but you can still get like a 3D image.
It's like looking through a window.
Yeah, that's cool.
I don't know why they did it.
Wow.
It's cool.
Because the phone itself isn't competing for the high-end market either.
Has they announced the price?
$199.
Oh, wow.
And it's a mid-range phone. But the big feature is take a picture, buy it on Amazon. That is their selling feature.
That's cool.
I don't know how I feel about that because I don't know if that's a good thing for society or if it's a terrible thing for society.
Let me tell you who it's good for.
Who's good for it?
Amazon.
That's true. Because
it's like, whoa, I'm at Walmart.
Wait, hold on. Amazon is the Kindle. Oh, yeah, man. Could you imagine? It's like you could really read a book.
Oh, if they put that in, like, I'm bringing my Kindle to chapters. And I took a picture of this book, and it said buy on the Amazon bookstore.
Yeah.
Instead of buying it in chapters.
Yeah.
Lols.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow.
It's over.
Wow.
There you go.
Game over, man.
Yo, Indigo, Coles, look out.
Game over, man.
Barnes and Noble.
Get out.
Man. Yeah. Well, there you go. That's it for our picks of the week, right?
Yo.
Cool. Let's move on with this show.
Hello, listeners. Did you know you can email us at 3nerdsinabasement? Well, you can. Just send us an email at tniab.letters@gmail.com and we will read your message on the air.
Okay, so for my week, I did very, very little new. I continued watching Nobunaga the Fool.
Okay.
I watched 20 episodes straight.
Okay.
The finale airs tonight.
Oh.
Wow, you're... Wow.
Yeah, I just decided to catch up.
Game over, man.
Because I thought, hey, if it's going to end, I better catch up or else I won't watch it all.
Wow.
And I will say, I have been enjoying it. The final third of what I've seen so far gets pretty intense.
Yeah.
And there's some pretty... big twists and turns. A lot of people like to die in that show.
Turning.
Compared to where it starts out, it's very surprising where it is right now.
Mm.
But it's good. In the meantime, I've also watched another anime called Knights of Sidonia.
I've heard you talk about this, and all it reminded me was of a song that I know that's also by the same name.
Yeah, so apparently in some sort of future world, there's two types of people. There's the upperclassmen and those who are poor who live underground.
There is no middle class.
Basically, like, the poor people have been so oppressed that their city has gone...
They're literally underground.
They've turned into moles. They've turned into mole men.
Gurren Lagann?
So, and it's a bit weird, but one guy finds his way to the top.
Okay, does he drill there?
No, he just kind of goes through a lot of caverns and stuff. Because in this futuristic city, there's so many foundations and layers and tunnels that they say if you go down there, you're going to get lost.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so he kind of just lives in there. And he found an old simulator for their futuristic robot stuff.
Cool.
And he's like, because he's by himself all the time, he has become the master at this simulator.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to the top, series of events occur, and he gets recruited in to their academy school. He goes out to their new simulator stuff, and he gets rocked by people. Because he was on the 17th generation system, and the current one is 18.
Oh.
Right?
Okay.
So something happens, they gotta scramble together, and they gotta go out and fight aliens or something. And everybody's out there in their mechs, and he gets called to his station, and he's given an older generation mech.
So he just dominates.
And they go out there, and that's all I've seen.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know what happens. It's a bit weird. In the future they live in, they have three sexual orientations of people. There's male, female, and then somewhere in between.
Okay.
And the somewhere in between people have, say you find yourself liking a boy, your body will morph into a woman.
Whoa!
If you like a, if it's, and vice versa, okay? So there's a lot of weird stuff about this anime. The one thing I want to say is the animation style is so weird because it is completely 3D models. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen, what is it? Macross Frontier? Probably not. But the jet battles, they're all like, they're all 3D, right?
Yep.
Except they overlay cel shaded 2D drawings on top of the models.
This has been going on for a little while.
Yeah, so that's the new trend, right?
Right, I understand.
It's so jarring to look at.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's not like the framework isn't as smooth as traditional hand drawn stuff. Because they're under budgetary constraints. So sometimes it looks choppy when it's, I guess that's supposed to be the artistic decision. It's 12 episodes. I'm going to hang on and see if it gets any better. But I don't know if I like this new animation trend. Like, I think the technology behind it is really impressive.
Didn't the same thing happen with Valrave?
Yeah, sort of like that. But Valrave, when it was just the pilots talking,
right?
They were just 2D.
Oh, so this is... It extends to everybody.
This is everything in the series.
Weird.
Yeah. So like when people are talking at the academy, they're 3D, but their models look like they're 2D.
Oh wow.
It's weird. And the thing with 3D animation is instead of having to draw someone, they have to build out an entire person. So there's a lot of reused assets and there's a lot of reused faces.
Oh, okay.
You know. So there's less diversity than you would see compared to traditional stuff. But yeah, so that's Slice of Cydonia. Check it out. You'll probably know if you like it by the first three episodes or not. And the last thing I've been doing is I played this game called Plundernauts on the iOS. I believe it's on the Android store as well. It's made by the dudes who did... If I read this correctly, they also made Starhawk and Warhawk for the PlayStation.
Really? They went to mobile straight up?
Yeah, I think they like disbanded and like the lead heads... This is their game that they made.
Huh.
Like, I don't think it's the entire team. I think it's their creative heads have left that company and then they made this. Anyways, it's a spacefaring pirate game where, I don't know if you guys have ever played Flight Control.
Yes.
Okay, think of the controls like that, only it's not completely 2D, it's a bit 3D. And you have guns on each side of your ship.
Oh,
weird. And you're basically shooting people down, and then you can upgrade your ship, and you can buy a new ship. You have special powers, regenerative powers, and stuff. It's fun. It's a good time killer. It's nothing standout amazing, but it's free. And their monetary, I guess, model is you can only do up to 5 battles per allotted time, like day. And then other than that, you have to buy. I think their fiction is your fuel reserves get depleted, so you have to recharge them.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting.
I guess that's just the standard free-to-play model. But yeah, no, it's cool. High production value. It's all right.
I might have spelled it wrong, but I checked on the Android store and I didn't see it. So.
Plundernauts?
I just spelled it like it sounds.
N-A-U-T-S?
Yeah.
Plundernauts.
Yeah, nothing showed up, so it might not be on the internet store.
Maybe. Yeah, I know it just came out like super recently, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But no, that's all I've been doing for my week. Blavin, what you been up to?
So, this past week, I have been watching a TV show, finally.
Oh, boy.
I finally got into American television.
Oh.
So, the show that I picked to consume is Hannibal.
The thriller?
Yeah. So, this story... This TV show is 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. It's 13 episodes each. Each episode in the first season is named after a French dish. And then the second season...
French dish?
French dish. And the second one... The second season's all about Japanese dishes.
I like this.
So, I don't know how familiar you guys are with Hannibal Lecter. What do you guys have, what do you guys know about Hannibal Lecter?
Just the movies.
So, which movies?
What's the first one called?
Red Dragon.
No. Sorry.
Not it's that the one. Second one. That
the
you
second
guys,
one.
Sounds of the Lambs. Yeah,
that's the one with Clarice.
But when you say say Red Dragon's first, you mean chronologically speaking, but not release order.
I think it was release order. Because Red Dragon was really old.
Then what am I thinking? Because did Red Dragon get a remake?
No, there was another one with... they did the subsequent sequels as well.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. Then Silence of the Lambs is pretty much all I know.
I only know Silence of the Lambs.
So, did you know that he had an adversary that wasn't... Hannibal Lecter had an adversary that wasn't Clarice?
No.
It was... His name is Will Graham, and he only appears in the first book, Red Dragon. And his special ability, Will Graham, is that he has an empathy disorder, meaning he can empathize with anyone and can assume their point of view no matter who they are.
Wow.
And they use him to catch criminals because he can empathize with them, think the way they think, and then recreate their murders and find out their motives and who they are and what they will do next. And he also has a photographic memory. So the first season...
That just helps.
That also helps, yes.
Well, it's rivals Hannibal Lecter as well, right?
Yeah.
So the first... It's supposed to be a prequel to the first movie or the first book, Red Dragon.
Uh-huh.
So it shows their relationship before they finally really butt heads in the actual Red Dragon, where Will Graham is chosen to hunt down Hannibal Lecter and capture him.
Mm-hmm.
So Hannibal Lecter is a psychiatrist and he is very skilled with manipulation and he's also a psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a cannibal.
Yes.
So he eats people. So this show has a weird effect on me because when he kills people, he takes body parts of them. Then he there's little vignettes of him preparing all his food afterwards.
Oh.
And a lot of the episodes do this, but everything he makes looks absolutely delicious.
I bet it does.
It's insane.
I bet it does.
He would take someone's thigh, cut it, and then wrap string around it. Broil it, put in a thing, base it, and feed it to the person.
Yeah.
So, things like that. It's pretty crazy. So, Hannibal Lecter is played by Monsieur Le Chiffre.
Oh, wow.
Mads Mikkelsen.
That is a very good casting.
Did you know that even though Mads Mikkelsen, he plays all the bad guys over here?
Yeah.
He's
a hero.
No, he's a comedian.
Oh, he's a comedian?
Because he looks so funny to other people in his home country. I can't forget where it was. But apparently he does jokes and is a comedian over there.
Oh, wow.
Weird, right? Everything he plays here is just a bad guy.
Wow.
And the guy they have playing Will Graham is, I don't know if you guys have seen Confessions of a Shopaholic, but it's the main love interest in that one. His name is Hugh Dancy, and he's a British actor.
Okay, I think I know what you're talking about.
He is married to... Kate Winslet? I can't remember. Kate Blanchett? I can't remember who he's married to. But he's Will Graham, and it's really cool. Because a lot of... It's usually... How can I explain this? It's usually Catch a Killer of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's an overarching story of him trying to come to terms with Hannibal and try to also entrap Hannibal.
Right.
So it's pretty cool for them to see.
Okay.
And it's also interesting to see how Hannibal interacts with other serial killers, if he's the better serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an overarching story between them two. Another person who's also in this show is the head of the FBI's behavioral science department is Morpheus.
Oh, really?
Lawrence Fishburne.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's in this one as well. The dialogue in this show is very, in my opinion, very smartly written. It shows you that both of them are very... Will and Hannibal are both fiercely intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Hannibal really only sees Will as his equal.
Oh, okay.
He's the only person he's equal, and the only person that can rival him in, you know, unlocking the human mind and understanding people. So it's when they butt heads, it's very interesting to see how they outplay each other, and because Hannibal becomes Will's psychiatrist, so then they sit and talk. And he reveals stuff about him, and so does... And it's just weird because they both know, but they don't say anything.
Right.
But then they try to entrap each... It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And also, another cool thing about this TV show is that Will gets to recreate all the murders. So whenever he sees a murder scene, they do this very unique thing where he swings a pendulum and it erases everything, and then he acts out everyone as the killer.
Oh.
And it shows how the whole thing went down. But then it leads to the conflict where Will becomes too invested in killing, in the killings, starts to only think about the killings, has nightmares about them, and it takes a toll on his psyche. Mm. So there's also harsh imagery and very graphic scenes.
I could imagine there's graphic scenes.
Yeah. But overall, the show is, in my opinion, very well written and very, very engrossing to watch. Uh-huh. And the fact that they're just having mental battles with each other is just very, very interesting to me.
You've seen all of it so far?
No. Okay. I tried to see all of it before I came today.
Oh, okay.
They're an hour each. I finished the first season in, like, a day.
Uh-huh.
So that was rough on my body.
Uh-huh. But how many episodes per season?
13. So it's 13 hours I spent. Damn. And I'm halfway through the second season already. Okay. It's very, very good. And also, just makes me want to cook.
Okay.
It makes me want to cook better. This guy cooks the most elaborate, elegant dishes. Always has a glass of wine with it. He always dresses in suits.
What do you want to cook?
Peoples. It's pretty crazy. So what he does is when he wants to kill someone, he just has a whole flip. You know those things that hold business cards?
Rolodex?
He has a Rolodex full of people who have done a poor job with the things he asked them to do, like an IT guy or whatever. Yeah. He rips that out. Then he goes to his recipe book, rips that out. And then they just find a brand new body and him just preparing the meal. It's pretty crazy. So that's something that he does throughout the whole show over and over again. So it's not really a spoiler.
It's just his routine.
It's just his routine that he does. So it takes away all the motive, basically.
Wow.
Because it's just all random.
Wow.
It's like, oh, you didn't do a good job. Look, one of them was a suit maker. One of them was a guy who did windows. So I just assumed they just did a poor job. And they just... So yeah, I really recommend the show. It's very, very cool.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to see Monsieur Le Chiffre again from the world, he's here. No, no, no bleeding eyes, though.
I bet not. Yeah, no, I heard a lot of chatter about the show when it first aired, but then a lot of people just tailed off when the second season aired, and I just didn't know.
I think the second season is way better than the first.
But is it a lot more... Is it a lot more complex? Is it a lot...
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that's why.
It's one of those... How can I explain this? In the first season... The hero is not sure of himself.
Yeah.
In the second season, he will do whatever it takes.
Oh, maybe that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of walking that fine gray area,
yeah.
He's become the villain, I guess, for a lot of people, that's checkout time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I know that there's more to it because he's just so smart. So,
okay.
Yeah. It's one of those instances where there's a smart, powerful guy and a super smart, weak guy. And the weak guy is trying to win against the super smart, powerful guy.
Okay.
In his own way, kind of thing.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Another thing I've been doing is I have been smashing it up in Magic. Yeah. I've gone 4-0 in the past two tournaments that I've been to. Wow. So it's been pretty good.
So you're official pro now.
No. I'm just doing much better, and I think I figured out the format for this draft.
Okay.
Also, I lost 10 pounds.
Well, that's good.
Woo! After a month of running and only eating rabbit food.
Oh.
Only eating carrots.
It's like actual rabbit food?
Nibble, nibble, nibble.
How do you have the energy to run then?
I'm just kidding. I eat at least 2 leaves of spinach a day.
Oh.
At least 2, and that's too much for
me. That's like double a rabbit.
Yeah, and then I sometimes smell a grape tomato. I don't know if I'm feeling kind of extra fatty. I smell a grape tomato.
Wow.
Well, yeah. No, it's good. It's good. I lost 10 pounds. I didn't believe it when I looked into the thing. I went from 220 to 210. And hopefully if this keeps up, I'll be down to 150.
Wow. Are you sure that's healthy?
I'm just kidding.
And then you can get on the McDonald's train again.
I was like, I don't think that's healthy.
I was just dead. I just want to be at 180 or something.
Okay.
Get some things going. I never run into you in the stairs, man.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't. I guess you go too early in the afternoon for me.
Let's see. I've been there for the past 3 days. And I've been there generally around 5
to 8.
Oh, yeah.
We usually... 5 to 8, what do you do there? A tea party?
No, like, I'm just rounding from, like, when I've been there. Like, the earliest would be 5, and the
latest. Oh, I see.
And the latest I would leave at is around 8.
8. Okay, so, we have this set of stairs in our city, and me and my friends have been doing it for around a month or so now.
Mm.
So now we're able to run up the first flight, then walk to a plateau, go back down, run up the first flight again, walk up to another plateau, come back down, run up the first flight. And hopefully by then we'll run two flights, walk up, come down, run two flights.
Wow. Well,
like roll up to number three and then come down and mm-hmm. run up two flights and go up mm-hmm. to number four and then mm-hmm. come down. But there's always that one long stretch around the corner where there's like three flights all together.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
one, we keep forgetting that that exists.
Yeah, that's there.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, that's there. Yeah, no, let's see. No, well, I was there today, but I guess I was there a lot earlier today.
Yeah.
Because we're
yeah.
recording, but yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Mm-hmm. Get fit. It's good.
Do you guys drive there?
Yeah, we drive there.
Okay.
And then afterwards, we usually just do some bodyweight exercises or something in between rounds or whatever.
Okay.
Lately, we've been too tired because of the sprinting and whatnot, going up the steps.
Yeah. I'll probably... Yeah, because I think, like, now, I'll probably be around that area more often because I'm doing the whole... I got to double up on cardio and half the strength.
Yeah, it seems that cardio is the thing, the way to go. It really helps.
Yeah.
I breathe easier now, too. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's really, really good. It's helped keeping me energetic, I guess.
Yes.
And eating healthy is so good. I tried to eat fast food and I almost threw up. It's bad.
Yeah.
So my diet consists of spinach and kale leaves and grape tomatoes, feta cheese, and some Catalina sauce? Is it the red one?
You have to ask Anthony on that.
No, it's just dressing. It's like the red dressing that's all tomato based.
Oh, for salad, you mean?
Yeah, for salad.
Okay.
Oh. Yo, man, show some ranch on there.
Yeah. Just
cover it.
So I got...
You know, I actually just like, what is it? Just, what's that oil?
Vinegar.
Olive oil
and salt?
Yeah, that's all I have now.
Yes.
Yo, how Italian are you?
You can't.
The most Italian, Anthony. Jesus. The most.
What I've noticed is that if you don't eat healthy combined with your working out, it's just doing nothing for you.
No.
Eating healthy has been very difficult. Yeah. When friends go out, I have to order a salad or something, and it takes a lot of willpower.
Uh-huh.
It's cheaper, though. I spent a total of $2 at a wing place to get out. Celery sticks and carrot sticks.
Wow.
Speaking of eating healthy, have you guys seen the video of the guy boiling Coke?
No.
What?
So this thing has got me to stop drinking pop for like the past 3 weeks.
Wow.
It's like this Russian guy, he takes a bottle of Coca-Cola, like
mm-hmm.
a liter bottle,
mm-hmm.
pours it into a pot, and just boils it.
Yes.
What comes out is tar. Like, it is the consistency of tar.
Wow.
And it is super gross.
Wow.
Yeah, that travels through your body.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, oh my God. So now all I've been drinking is water.
That's good, man.
Because, like, I used to drink at least, bare minimum, 3 Cokes a day.
Wow.
Is this just with Coke?
This is just Coke, like only Coca-Cola. No Pepsi. Get that Pepsi garbage on the face.
Yeah, Pepsi's great.
Yo, whatever. Pepsi's subpar garbage.
Yeah.
Even new Coke's better than Pepsi.
Yeah. Being fit feels good.
So you have no junk you eat at all.
Nothing. No, it's very difficult. Because in the evenings, when I'm watching Hannibal, I want to be snacking on something because of this gosh darn show.
Yeah.
And I just go into my thing and make a salad.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be eating this.
We should go to the ballpark.
Yo, grape tomatoes are the bomb.
Because I always have... I'll eat healthy, but my cheat food is always one scoop of ice cream.
How, like, is it, like... Is a scoop to you the box?
Or? No, no. The scoop is probably, if I had to guess, 2.5 tablespoons.
Yeah. Oh, that's...
Oh, you guys, I eat like shit.
No, so you know, like, you don't have an ice cream scooper, right?
Yeah.
I don't over, like, I don't do like a healthy scoop. Like,
it's one scoop.
No, I do like just enough to fill that ice cream scooper.
All right, so like typically for me when I wake up is like I have oatmeal and I put honey in the oatmeal and I have an apple. And a bottle of water. At work, I would have a piece of chicken breast and a salad.
Mm.
Go running, come back, make quinoa and a piece of salmon. And that's my day.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I've been getting way into O. Henry bars.
Man.
They're really good.
It's so hard not to
I've been getting into this thing called pizza.
Do you know what you can do with it? Oh, you can put anything on pizza.
My God.
I just heard about this thing called a chili dog. Okay,
I don't understand how my friends can eat and then run.
Oh, I can't do that.
They literally
eat. I have to eat after.
How much do they eat?
They eat a steak or something.
Meal? What? They eat like a steak and then they go for it?
And I don't know how they do it. They said, we need this to run.
It's all the protein. It's all that protein.
I don't understand. My body is on lockdown after I eat. I don't know. It's how they function, right? Well, so
if it works for them, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've only been at it a month, and I'm really happy about our progress, so I hope this keeps going at least until the end of the summer or something.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And then you gotta do winter running.
Yeah. I don't know what to do in the winter. That's always my, like, downtime. It sucks.
You hibernate. That's
great. You hibernate? Like a bear.
I took up skipping.
Yeah, I don't know.
Your garage becomes your
restaurant. I took up skipping and M100s.
Oh, yeah. Baby.
Yeah.
Just shovel.
Oh, yeah. I also took up the shoveling.
Shoveling is very bad for your back, though.
Shoveling.
That's why you get those ergonomic shovels.
Oh, yeah.
The ones that look like an S.
Like, I already own a snowblower,
yeah.
So I'm never going to shovel.
And I'll tell you guys right now, going to the stairs, there's so many
attractive
people. People. People in general.
Uh-huh.
The dudes are all hunks. And old people who are hunky.
I definitely think there's more of a 50-50 split.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's more 75-25.
No, but I can't. No, I think it's a 50-50 because I value the facial features a lot more than most people.
Okay.
It doesn't matter how hot your body is if I can't get past your face.
So what's the etiquette there if you have to run up and the person's like
slow? Spatial awareness.
Oh, you hope
get out of their way and never walk side by side.
That gets you,
right? Yeah, it does get me. And it's like, if you're going to walk up side by side, one step at a time, what are you doing? Get out of here.
Go away.
The other thing, too, that annoys me is like, I get it. There's people there. There's attractive people there. And there's people who want to hit on those people. That's fine. But don't do it at the entranceway to a set of stairs.
Entranceway? As in?
Like, or like right when you get to the top, don't stop and try and hit on the girl there. There's other people going through. Yeah. You know, if you're going to hit on someone, move to the side, please.
See, we never run into this problem because by the time we're there, there's very little people. And I assure that you go at the time when it's... We've been to one time where it was packed.
Yeah.
It was like waiting in a Disneyland. There was a lot of people there.
Yeah, yeah.
And but when we go, usually there's not a lot of people left. And yeah, it's interesting that some people like to stop or whatever. And even when I'm slow, people are pretty... They're pretty considerate, you know, saying, you know, to your left.
Yeah, yeah.
Out the way.
Oh, I'm always constantly checking over my shoulder.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all the time. I usually get out of the way, but a long time before they get to me.
I would never want to fall on those stairs.
My mom fell on those stairs.
It would seem like it hurts.
It
cuts you up.
Yeah, so yeah. What happened is that my mom fell on those stairs because she was exercising with my dad.
Yeah.
And she tripped and, like, just smashed the stairs, I guess, like, on the stairs, not, like, on a flat surface.
Ouch.
And so she looked like Two-Face for a while. Like, this part of her face was all bruised and black and, like, cut up.
Did they still work out that day?
No, they went to the hospital.
Did she finish up her set before getting checked out?
She's like, yeah, I gotta tough it out. Oh. No, I think she had to be... Did they have an ambulance? I think she had to be taken in an ambulance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was that serious, huh?
Yeah. She got messed up. Like, the whole...
Dang.
Yeah, the whole side of her body was just all bruised. They're metal stairs with sharp, pointy things.
Oh, man, mosquitoes are out in full force.
They are. That's why I go in the dead heat now. Or like the middle of the heat.
Yeah.
Because on cooler times, mosquitoes come out.
Yeah, humidity is bad. I wear a sweater. People,
like a light sweater.
They laugh at me. Right. And I've said, I'm not getting beaten by mosquitoes. Screw you guys.
I always, like, I've been to those stairs, not to do the stairs, but like to walk the trails and stuff.
Yes.
And like whenever I have to go up the stairs, I always cheat by walking up the thing where you put your bike in.
How is that cheating? You're still doing the stairs.
Hard. No, like I skip a whole bunch of steps, like because like a flight of steps will be like 5 steps, but it only takes me 2 strides on the side.
No, you're still doing the stairs. That's just me skipping at each step.
Yeah, it's way easier than taking every single step, though.
All right.
It's fun. I really like it a lot. It's a cool social thing, and
yeah,
it's cool that a lot of people. I didn't know that. In our neighborhood, a lot of people did it.
Yep.
It seems like a quite popular thing. This is the most popular set of stairs, correct?
Yeah. I'm just right now, I'm just a little sad that there's construction going on at the bottom.
Yes.
Because usually I go for, like, a bike ride before I get there.
Right.
And I can't do that trail.
Do you just, like, pad up your bike and then go up?
Like, push it up?
Oh, do you bring it with you, or do you pad it up at the bottom, or?
No, because I live on the top side, right?
Right.
So when I'm at the bottom, I usually just lift my bike and carry it up once,
yeah,
and then I lock it up at the fence at the top,
and then
then I do the stairs.
Yeah, it's good times. Anthony, you should come out.
Maybe when I'm not broken.
You're not broken.
But we'll see if my doctor says at the beginning of July if I'm still not broken.
You just need your feet.
No, it's even like I tried to go jogging. It's just the vibe, like me.
It's not
jumping.
It's not high impact actually.
It's, yeah, not.
It's because you're doing stairs. You're not doing it with flat surface concrete. Okay.
Maybe
it's running. Like walking upstairs.
Literally. Yeah, running takes a lot more toll on your body than the stairs.
Yeah,
I don't know. Just like even right now, sitting here, like this is kind of throbbing without something to rest it on. So we'll see.
I see.
Also, I haven't used my shoulder in like a month, so.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
It's pretty good. It's good. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to for the past couple of weeks. Mm. And magic testing. So.
Cool.
Yep.
Anthony, what you been up to? Exercise?
No.
Oh, okay. I tried.
The opposite.
All right.
The opposite. I've been keeping on the stuff I did last week. But also, I went to go see some movies. I went to go see a movie, and I saw a movie at home this week. I went to go see 22 Jump Street.
Right.
You saw yesterday, he pretty much gave me the lowdown. I thought it was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
I still think 21 Jump Street is better.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like their use of kind of self-aware jokes. And there's a lot of really subtle jokes that I found really funny. Like, mm-hmm. there was a scene where Channing Tatum was in a football line. Like, they were getting ready to do a play.
Yeah.
And then the quarterback was like, color, number, number, color. And I was like, I was the only one who laughed in the theater, but I found that so funny.
Yeah, I remember that scene. I was going like, wait, did I hear that correctly? And
color, it was like,
number, color?
Because usually it's like blue 42.
Yeah.
Blue 40 hut. Yeah. And so he's like, number, color, yeah, hut. And then he runs a play, and I just started laughing so hard.
Yeah.
And there's like a lot of stuff at the end, like when they're having, they're like, oh, finally, dancing, something I'm good at. And Channing Tatum's just like...
Oh, yeah. Sadly, the credit sequence is actually the best part of the movie.
Damn, don't spoil that. I'm going to see it tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. It was really funny. I think my favorite characters in that movie were the twins. Across Door Neighbors.
Okay, yeah.
Those guys were really funny.
But yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, go on.
No, I was going to say, yeah, but like going back to the beginning of this podcast when I said sequels have that problem of driving a wedge, that's my problem with it, with 22 Jump Street.
I understand.
And I just found it so annoying.
And I understand what you meant by the game.
No, I didn't want to hear that. I wish it was not that.
you understand the...
Yeah, like...
The overbearing gay jokes? Yeah,
some of them are very funny.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times they keep on it for, like, just too long. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like this joke was funny for about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It's now 7 minutes in. This is not funny anymore.
And they're nowhere near stopping.
Yeah.
But yeah, the first one, I like the first one better. Yeah,
there are some good moments in that movie, though.
You know what I was missing?
What?
Dave Franco.
He was in there.
Not enough.
Yeah, not enough.
Not there enough.
Did you say after the credits? Oh, say after the credits.
Dave Franco? Was he in the first one?
Yeah, he was Mother Nature.
Dave Franco.
Not James.
Yeah.
Not enough him.
There was a scene after the credits that was pretty funny.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then the other movie I watched is a documentary. It's called How to Make Money Selling Drugs.
Okay.
And it was a 2012-2013 documentary. If you've ever watched Entourage, have you seen that show?
The Mark Wahlberg loosely based around his life.
Yeah.
Thing? Yeah.
So the main actor, the main character who is the actor in that show,
mm-hmm.
he produced it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I thought that was an interesting little piece of trivia. But so what it is, it's, you ever get a pop-up ad on the internet and it's like, I'm going to tell you in the next 5 minutes how to make a bunch of money,
mm-hmm.
like those kind of ads. They set up the movie kind of like that. And they're like, are you down on your luck? Don't have a job? Let me tell you how you can make 6 figures a year selling drugs.
Okay.
And they start from the bottom and they go through all the levels from street
now
corner.
We're here.
Yeah. From street corner hustler to drug cartel.
Okay. From rags to riches.
Yeah, from rags to riches. And they have interviews with people who are actual drug dealers, who are actual current drug dealers,
yes.
Celebrities, like 50 Cent is in it.
Yeah.
And he talked about how growing up on the street, like he sold drugs because
mm-hmm.
it was like there were no jobs and it was the only way to get by and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, they teach you about mass distributing, and it pretty much teaches you the inner workings of of how people sell drugs.
Yes.
And like what it's a really cool documentary. Near the end, it starts off really jokey, like you can make all this money, but by the end, it becomes like a really serious thing, and you realize everything that they told you in the beginning is like actually not as funny as they made it out to be.
Oh,
yeah.
Is there a message or moral to this documentary?
The moral that they try to get across is that the war on drugs is a war that cannot be won, really.
Okay.
And all the money and all the billions of dollars they're putting into like the DEA, the U.S. government, is not really worth it. Also, like things like there was a news story recently, a kid in Texas, mm-hmm. he got 99 years in prison for having a pound and a half of marijuana because he baked it into a bunch of brownies.
Oh.
Yeah, and so for possession of that. Like, he wasn't selling it or anything. For possession, he got 99 years.
That seems harsh.
Yeah, yeah. And they're saying that, like, murderers get less time
than
people who hold... And, like, this is the kind of the message... Like, that's a prime example of the message of this documentary. That, like, people who go to jail for murder get less time than people who hold drugs on them.
Wow.
And stuff like that. And then even from there, it goes on, like, even all this stuff I told you is bad, and even when they get into, like, the really gruesome drug cartel stuff... They show, like, alcohol and cigarettes.
Yeah.
Like, they're still 100 times worse than anything that's on the streets, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. I've always been surprised that alcohol doesn't get much more of a, like, negative view on it.
Yeah.
Compared to, I guess, drugs, yeah. I know now with, like, cigarettes and such... They have taken strides, at least here in Canada, right?
Yeah, there's like those really gross ads on the cover.
Yeah, and when you go to the store, you're not allowed to see them.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was
an out of sight, out of mind campaign.
Yeah. I don't know if that's how it is in the States, but here in Canada, yeah. When you go to like a convenience store, the cigarettes are there, but there's blinders in front of them, so you can't see them unless you ask for them.
Yeah. And yeah, it was like, it's a very serious documentary, but it was also very fun. Like, they taught you everything about it in a very fun way. That like made you want to watch it. It's about 90 minutes. So okay. It's not too long, but I highly, highly recommend it. It is a really cool, like, inside look in the drug community.
Sounds promising.
Yeah. Cool. And yeah, that's pretty much been my week for new stuff. Yeah.
Have you watched the movie Below?
What's her face is in it? Penelope Cruz?
And Johnny Depp.
No, I haven't.
I've always wanted to watch that. That
I don't movie. Think I've seen it all.
Oh, so you've seen parts of it.
I've seen parts of it.
So it's about Johnny Depp's character running a drug cartel.
Yes.
And it looks interesting. The guy who actually that story is based on was just released or something a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I think I watched parts of it because it got a lot of critical acclaim.
It did.
It won an award, some big award, I can't remember.
Speaking of convicts, did you guys see the headlines of what's happening regarding one convict who's a very good looking?
No.
So... Somebody got arrested for a gun charge or something, and they put up his mugshot.
Yeah.
And he has a chiseled face and blue eyes.
Wow.
And a bunch of women online just blew up, just loving this guy, wanting him to be in Calvin Klein commercials and whatnot.
Wow.
It's so funny. And I thought that it was just so ludicrous. And then memes started popping up that he stole your heart. And then he'll also steal your DVD player. And, oh no, I fell in love. Like, he's a felon.
Yeah.
And it's just...
I fell in
love. And it's just insane that this is what happened. Even though the guy has a wife and kids, and they showed his past photos, and he doesn't look good. He just took a good photo, you know? So that's why he just made the news as this. And I'm showing the guys the picture now. This is what he looks like.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay. I can see it.
I could,
right? Sure. He just has those steely blue eyes and the chiseled features.
I thought he was going to be like some sort of model.
That is going to be Cristiano Ronaldo?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but then they put his face on Dolce & Gabbana stuff. It's pretty funny. Yeah, so that's what making the rounds.
If I were to profile, I could see that guy having a gun charge.
I think that's what happened. So, yeah, it was very interesting that this thing came up.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
I think that's the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Remember, as always, we're on the internet somewhere.
Yep.
All you gotta do is Google 300 in the Basement. You'll find everything you need.
Like our Twitter account, at TNIAB.
Sure. It might be there. You never know.
Like our email. Oh, you won't find the email account.
No, you won't. You might find the Facebook account.
You can find our email.
Yeah.
At. I don't know. Who's doing it? Who's doing it?
You guys do
Blavin,
it.
Blavin, do it.
No.
What's the email?
I have no idea. To this day. TNIB@gmail.com
Yeah, you got it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Score one for the good guys.
Okay, well, we'll see you again in 1 week's time, and we decide to talk about other stuff.
Yep.
Other cool things.
Other cool things in the world. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.